the number one hit music station. More music, more variety. Welcome to The Alternative. Playing today's new country. Oh, sorry, I was just practicing. I'm Matt from Matt Fogarty Voiceovers. I know you want to listen to your podcast, so I'm going to keep this super brief. If you're a program director and you're looking for a fresh sound on your station, hit me up. I'll do a free, no-obligation sample for you, and you can get a really good sense for how I'll sound on your station. Get in touch at mattfogartyvo.com. I'm seriously sitting by my computer hitting refresh right now. Email me. Do it.
This is the podcast for broadcast. Sound Off Podcast. With Matt Kendall.
This week, Jacqueline Irwin from Kiss 92.5 in Toronto. She joins me to talk about her early influences with radio, her love for creating great videos, and what she encountered on a recent tour of England to cover the royal wedding. Now, I know that any intro that uses words like early influences, videos, and tours sounds like one you could have for any pop superstar. But isn't that what she is? Jax joins me from Rogers Radio headquarters in Toronto. What's it like growing up Haligonian?
Well, I'm actually a Dartmouthian. I'm from Dartmouth, and anybody who's familiar with Nova Scotia knows that that's like the worst version of Halifax. No, it's beautiful. Yeah, I'm from Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. It was just such a beautiful place to grow up. I'm lucky, very lucky.
So I was in Dartmouth in 1991, and you know, I went in for the night just to have a few drinks, but the person I was staying with, the way he summed it up was, he said, think of all the good things about Halifax are in Halifax, and all the worst things about Halifax were shipped to Dartmouth.
Yeah, it's, you know what? Dartmouth is a totally different city from when I left now, too. It's constantly changing. It's beautiful. It's the city of lakes, as Matt Mays calls it. It's gorgeous. But we didn't have as many, you know, shops and places as Halifax did. But it's on the come up constantly. It's beautiful there.
You just touched on Matt Mays. So talk about the music scene and growing up in that area. And it's got its own music scene and not everybody knows about it.
Oh, it's the music, the talent, the artists that come out of Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, the East Coast in general, is just phenomenal. There's an incredible bar scene for artists to play. So it's kind of cultivated through that. And I mean, you have Joel Plasky, you have Matt Mays, you have Rhea May, the Rankins, the list goes on and on and on. Mo Kenny, there's just so many good artists out there.
So was your first connection to radio through music?
Absolutely. I grew up listening to C100, all the East Coast love it. Yeah. C100 growing up listening to the Top 99 and just being introduced through that and the East Coast Countdown and just music in general was kind of brought to me through the radio.
Was there a personality on that station that said, yeah, I want to get into radio, and you connected with that person?
I grew up just being in awe of Moya Farrell. That whole morning show was just, it was golden growing up, Peter Kelly and Moya, and it was just incredible. So I always wanted to be Moya because I woke up with her every morning. I took the bus with her every day, and she was just a peach. She sounded so fantastic when I was growing up.
So remind me how you listened to the radio on the bus.
On the bus through the speaker, they would play for us every morning. It was just wonderful.
So would the driver play it or would you play it?
No, the bus driver would play it for all the kids. Yeah. Nobody fights when Peter Kelly and Moya are on.
Yeah, and I guess the point I would raise from that is that you connected through radio through a shared listening experience. And one of the things, I mean, you've got headphones on right now. I've got headphones on right now. Julie Adam mentioned this a few weeks ago, and that's, it's all becoming a very personal experience to the point where we're not really sharing the great stuff. So it was sort of the bus driver's radio that connected you to radio.
No, and everywhere you kind of went in Halifax, they were playing radio, and in Dartmouth they were playing radio, whether it was stores or cafes or the bus. I mean, even, you know, the school gym during PE, we were listening to the radio, and it's such a different experience now. You know, it's a lot of satellite, it's a lot of streaming, it's a lot of, you know, non-radio, traditional radio in general. So it's, the landscape has changed just phenomenally.
One thing that has not changed about Halifax in 30 years since I left there is that you are connected with C100, Q104, or FX1019. I think you're in one of those three camps. And the city, even though it's got so many more radio stations now, it's still those three brands.
Absolutely. They were, and they still are monsters. Brand-wise, personality-wise, just their community-wise, those stations are everywhere.
So being in Dartmouth, you were close to where you went to school after, which was Nova Scotia Community College.
Yes. So I was in the second year of the new campus. So they had been building that while I was in high school, and I took 2 years off after that. So there was the other campus, I do believe, towards the Valley, and then they switched the radio program to NSCC Waterfront Campus. So I was a super lucky duck. The equipment there, the campus, oh my goodness, it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
Well, that's my old program director, Dave Bannerman, who's headed that up. We've had him on this podcast, and you know, one of the things that's rather unsung is the alumni that have gone through those two buildings, the one that was up in the Valley, but mm-hmm. but you know, the one that you went through. I mean, Ruby Carr was on here a few weeks ago. Other distinguished alumni, I think you're probably it now.
I heard her on there. She sounded wonderful. Big big fan. I've worked, and I just love the heck out of Ruby Carr. Yeah, there's a lot of really, really good folks and a lot of pockets all over Canada coming out of that program. And like you just said, I mean, Dave was the head of the program forever, and he is just a total sweetheart, and just he's such a fan of creation in general, which is extremely lucky to have at the head of radio in NSCC. He's wonderful.
And a complete unrelated side note that has nothing to do with really very much, but it's now been taken over by Ryan Summers, mm-hmm. who interned for me at the Bear in Edmonton in 1997.
R.S. Smooth, he's a sweetheart.
R.S. Smooth has a great radio show. It's Smooth Grooves. It's still on the air, I believe, in Halifax.
Yeah, CKDU, that's right.
So you got to work in Halifax right after you graduated.
I did. I actually, I lucked out. When I was in college, Dan Barton, who was the program director at the time of Z1035 in Halifax, one of the Evanov stations, took a chance on me, and I was doing part-time. So I kind of dipped my feet into industry while I was still in school. And then I took a year, and I actually went to Prince George, British Columbia for a year working for 94X out there. And then I came back to Halifax and began working with C100 and The Bounce, now Virgin Radio.
Did you go to Toronto right after that?
After Halifax. Yeah, so I spent close to 4 years in Halifax. I started out with 101.3 The Bounce, now Virgin, and then I went over to C100, and then after that I got the job working with Kiss 92.5. Yeah, here in Toronto.
Are you a full-fledged Upper Canadian right now?
Until I have a couple of beers and I don't sound Upper Canadian. The accent comes out. It comes out pretty strong. It's been 3 years here in Toronto, so I've definitely embraced the lifestyle here and the busyness and kind of the pace. I love the East Coast, and I love the radio landscape in the East Coast. I was really lucky to work and live there, but I love Toronto 100%. It's always been my dream to get here.
One of the things you do really, really well, and that's social media. Making videos, connecting with the audience. So when did you first learn to do that, or have you always done that?
I didn't really make a lot. I kind of made more written content when I was working in Halifax and photo content. And then I started really working on the video sort of thing when I came to Toronto and teaching myself editing and audio editing as well as video editing on multiple platforms. So it was kind of testing the waters here. It wasn't very smooth at first. So I've just been kind of self-teaching myself. That was redundant. You know what I mean?
So could you give me a little bit of a walkthrough about how I need to connect with my audience using video? What are the tools that I need? Because I've got phones, I've got some apps. What are some of the things that you use to really make a good, strong video? And what platform do you want to put it on?
So when I think of video content, especially, for now, it's kind of changed definitely in the last couple of years. Smaller the better. People, and I think that we all need to be very respectful of our listeners and our viewers' time, especially because there's so much. There's so much right now to watch and view and consume. So I kind of keep that top of mind. So the way I build videos is always, of course, obviously what's happening in the city, in the country, in pop culture, in music, or just silliness. Like sometimes my really random videos perform the best. And the way I build that is through, if it's a quick video, I'll just use iMovie, or if it's longer form, I'll use Premiere or Final Cut. And then my go-to platform is traditionally Instagram, because I find that that's where most of the people are consuming shorter form video content.
What's your failure rate? Like, do you some videos just don't make it in the end, or?
I'm not telling you my secrets. You should see my garbage bin.
What?
There's a few.
I was just going to mention, I think, I just wanted to know, like, how often do you, like, try and fail? not try and fail, but how often do you, you know, just are you trying stuff all the time, or do you all have it all scripted?
No, I'm constantly trying things, and I think that that's an important thing of creating, is to constantly try and to constantly fail, because that's the only way. Like, some of the videos I thought were going to do awful have performed the best. So it's all kind of just learning. And like I said, the landscape's constantly changing. So what people are hungry for content-wise is constantly changing. So it's important to try and create and fail if you need to, because the next video, you're going to learn from that.
You're on the air. You're doing middays in Toronto at a station that plays a lot of popular music. But there's
absolutely,
yeah, there's four other stations like that. So how do you fight your way through that mess?
Yeah, there's a lot going on here, CHR wise. I think it's just cutting through, and we're really lucky here at KISS, and you know, Julie and Paul and Adam Thompson, our program director, they want our personality to cut through, and they give us room for that. And while we have to be obviously, you know, conscious of the format and the music and our talk time, they let our personalities cut through. I mean, Roz and Mocha are a prime example of that. It's personality through and through. So I think that that's a really important weapon that we have here at KISS.
That's a pretty good lead-in for you.
it was pretty scary at first, but they're just as nice as they are talented, and they're just sweethearts.
Imaging and production for radio made easy from Megatrax Production Music. Add a sense of British flair to your productions with London's No Sheet Music. From the team behind Wise Buddha, No Sheet Music are musicians and music fans. It's as simple as that. Their albums range from contemporary to classical, orchestral to electronic, and they're always usable and sonically excellent. Don't miss the hottest sounds by adding Deep East music to your deal. Music from Deep East elevates a story and amplifies a message with a serious buzz. Always fresh and intuitive, and of course, the highest quality, they've always got their ears to the ground for the latest worldwide trends. Head on over to Megatrax.com or call us at 818-255-7100 for your music licensing requests. That's Megatrax.com.
The Sound Off podcast is powered by Core Image Studio, your brand sound. Get it in the now. CoreImageStudio.com.
So you're going to be doing Afternoon Drive today because you're going to be filling in. So how's the midday audience differ from the one you're going to be dealing with today?
The midday audience, I mean, you know, it's obviously people commuting back home during the Afternoon Drive show, whereas I have a lot of folks who are at work or, you know, still on the go, but a lot more stationary. So it's a little bit different. But I mean, in Toronto, there's no real... Everyone's going at all times. So there's no, I'm catching, you know, Brenda on her way to work or Dave on his lunch break. So I build my content around what's happening, not who's listening.
Yeah, I know that seems like a really elementary question for a lot of people listening, but I know that you have to change your routine today. And,
yes.
And I think routine, just by, you know, we're talking to each other on video, but I can tell right now routine is the thing for you because you've got some water with you. And you're drinking water. So here's somebody who's obviously very conscious about their health and what they do. And I know you like to bike as well. So tell me a little bit about your routine.
I am usually up about 6:30 or 7. I have a tiny dog named Reginald who rules my life. So I'm usually out with him, hanging out. I hit the studio. I'm on the subway or biking. Try to get in here around 8:30. I try to prep the evening before for kind of the more evergreen content. And then... more top of mind and topical and new stuff when I get in the studio. So I get in here, start prepping, putt around, make jokes with my coworkers, and then I'm on air at 10. But then it's kind of changed because after my Toronto show, I also do Edmonton evenings. So I'm prepping for that and tracking for that. So I have a lot of fun doing that.
Tell me about that, because that's new for a lot of people in the business who are doing, you know, another radio show in another market. So how do you approach that? Here's Edmonton. It's now two time zones away from you. If you have to get on a plane, it's 3.5 hours. But a lot of the content is the same. So talk about repurposing some of that content.
I mean, it's tricky, especially because, like you said, it's different time zones, it's different provinces, it's completely different cities. Edmonton's a really, really cool city, and there's always a lot happening. So I really lucked out with that. obviously a lot with CHR, a lot of our prep and a lot of our content is, you know, pop culture, music, what's happening in that sort of realm. So I'm constantly using that and repurposing that. Most of our music is pretty much the same, but I do try, and I think it's really important for me to be very specific to the city and keeping that in mind and not sounding boxed and not fresh. So I make sure to talk about what's happening at Edmonton. I'm constantly on Edmonton's Reddit, and just so it sort of has that feel for the city, because I think that's absolutely imperative to do another show in a different city, is to sound like you're sitting in that city.
Talk about your affinity for Latin food.
I just love it so much, and I don't have good metabolism, so I should just slow it down. I should start just eating broccoli or something. I don't know.
But Latin food, so what is that? What are your favorite dishes, and where do you find good Latin food in Toronto?
The sort of passion started with Mexican food in general, and then sort of has gone into this whole different thing. Toronto, for my eating, is just wonderful. There's a lot of really, really good Latin. There's actually a place called Latin World up the road from me where I go to a lot, probably too much, eating there a lot. There's just a lot of good food in Toronto in general. So I find myself popping around and, you know, eating a lot of food all the time. But yeah, it's just such a good city for food and culture, and it's wonderful.
So a few weeks ago, you were in England.
I was.
Were you on assignment?
I was. I was there for 72 hours. So I was representing the KISS brands, and I flew to London. I've never been to the UK, and it was a whirlwind. It was so cool. So I flew to London, got there on the Friday for the royal wedding, and then I trained into Windsor on the Saturday, and we were doing dropped you there.
That's never happened before.
We were doing multi-market updates and social, and it was just really, really cool. It was, it was just such an experience to be there for such a celebration in general. It was really cool.
So what if I asked you, what had more viewers? Did the royal wedding have more viewers in Britain, or did the World Cup soccer game have more viewers in Britain?
It was interesting to see, because I think a lot of people, like obviously with the World Cup, there's so much passion there, but I think a lot of people kind of dismiss the royal wedding, being like, it's not that big of a deal. But when you get, maybe not so much in inner London, you didn't see it, but when you get outside of London, it is pandemonium. It is like, it's a lifestyle, it's a culture, it's everyone just loves the monarchy. So I that would be hard to say for viewership there's a lot of passion for the monarchy over there.
That's the nice thing about ratings, is that we have the ratings, and the World Cup game one did score higher than the wedding, which I found, I was surprised by that.
Yeah.
So I was quite surprised by that. Okay. So would you rather have Latin food with Prince Harry or Harry Kane, captain of the English soccer team?
Prince Harry, he's handsome. And I'm not the best to say which men are handsome and which are not, but I think he's just so charming and so handsome. I'd eat Latin food with Harry, hands down.
What else did you find in Britain that you were surprised on your first trip over?
The transit system. Maybe I'm just, because I'm from Dartmouth and we have like three buses, but the transit system just blew my mind. And Toronto has a pretty good transit system, but it was just the mass amount of people at once commuting to different places and being relaxed and not stressed about it. That just blew my mind. The transit system there is just incredible. That's the most small town thing I could ever say.
You mean you haven't taken the ferry from Dartmouth to Halifax? I find that to be the best form of commuting.
I mean, if you got some time to spare, you can cross the harbor. Excuse me. You can cross the harbor if you have some time to spare.
Was it a chance for me to take a few swigs on a Mickey?
Hey, good man. And you got a new one. So next time you're in Dartmouth, you got to check it out. It's zippy, let me tell you what.
What's the best advice you have for anybody graduating from broadcast school, or anybody right now who's thinking about getting into broadcasting?
I always say this. I think it comes down to just being kind and working your ass off, because I think there's so much room for kindness in the world in general and in radio, and being sweet goes a long way. And I mean, it's a competitive business, and I think it's important to take care of each other. But I also think that you just need to work your ass off, and you need to be willing to do whatever, because I mean, we've all done, you know, cleaning the street team cage to, you know, hosting a live to air in the snow and you just have to be willing and ready to go and just work your ass off and be excited to do it, because what we do in radio and media in general is really cool and it's really fun, and we're all you know, lucky folks.
What's the one thing in your future that you want to conquer that you haven't mentioned on this podcast yet?
That's tricky. I think I want to continue building more successful, you know, video content. I think I'd like to do an online series. I think that that would be really cool, kind of hosting something in that regard. And I think that radio is, you know, constantly transforming and growing. So I think that there would be a way to do that both on air and online. So I'm excited to get my toes wet in that.
Know you're busy. Know you got things to do today. Thank you very much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure.
Such a pleasure. I'm such a fan of your podcast, and it was great chatting with you, fine sir.
Thanks for listening to the Sound Off Podcast. Find us online at soundoffpodcast.com and connect with us wherever great social media is housed. The show is imaged using the sounds from Core Image Studios.
And assembled week in the guy.
Evan Surminski, mixing and production.
Kendra Magnus Johnston, content marketing.
Written and hosted by Matt Kundel.
A production of the Sound Off Media Company.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know, and he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
I'm Andrea Askowitz.
And I'm Allison Langer. And we are the hosts of Writing Class Radio, a podcast, but we are so much more. We have writing classes. So if you are looking for live online classes where you can join a community, write to a prompt, get feedback, and get better, check out all our classes at writingclassradio.com. And listen to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts and at writingclassradio.com.